End of the Blender, special episode 2?
You're listening to End of the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to media reviews.
Or whatever shiny object catches our eye that day. Your heart's beating for me. I'm just waiting to see. Where's the line that you would draw behind me? And never let me be. But it really doesn't.
Hi, everybody. This is Chooch.
Hi, this is Viv.
And we're bringing a special stereo spectacular simulcast episode from our feed, as well as the Balticon podcast feed.
Yes.
Because this is a panel from Balticon 44.
We apologize for the dust and the cobwebs. It should have been posted in June. But hey, it's more handy this month, because next month is NaNoWriMo, and the panel happens to be NaNoWriMo for Noobs.
Yes.
So it's just as well that it slid off of our to-do list into the deep, dark crevice between our desks, because it's actually relevant now.
Yes. Now's the perfect time to sharpen your pencils. Probably not pencils.
Sharpen
your word processor.
Update,
boot up your computer.
Update your software.
Patch Windows.
And then hope it still works afterwards.
And start planning out a novel.
I'm gonna say that we intentionally held this episode until now when it would be more useful.
Does that mean I have to go back and edit?
No, we'll just leave it there. They'll forget.
Yeah. Nano, you shouldn't edit anyways. You should just go for it.
That's right. We'll edit this in December after it's been released.
So this was a great panel that had a wide range of amateur writers, professional authors, people who have and have not won NaNoWriMo.
I carefully handpicked the panelists myself. Well, I suggested it to Paul, and I suggested the panelists, and he let me have my way. You were on the panel as a NaNo participant that did not win.
And who is not a published author.
And I participated as someone that did NaNo and won and is not published. And we also had Mighty Mer Lafferty as a published author that has participated. And we had P.G. Holyfield and Nathan Lowell, both also published authors, both also did NaNoWriMo. I want to say, and that's because it's 4 months later, I want to say that Nathan won, but I don't know that the other two won.
Yeah, I think Nathan's the only one.
Right, of the published authors. But everyone on the panel was somebody that I felt contributed something either to supporting other NaNo writers, either through Twitter support, or they had done special podcast episodes or done special podcasts specifically for it. And Nathan certainly has set a good example by all that he's done with his NaNo books. So, and I had also wanted Zach Ricks from Geek Survival Guide to join the panel, but there was concern about the number of people sitting on the panel. So I just asked him to attend because I was going to point him out, because he certainly did a big help for folks with NaNo, because he did special podcast in support of, you know, just little short ones, kind of helping people stay focused, stay motivated and on target and stuff. So he's also in the audience, not actually on the board, and hopefully you can hear him.
Yeah.
So,
as well as one of the representatives of NaNoWriMo.org, one of the municipal liaisons, who happened to be there. She saw NaNo on the schedule and dropped in, and she was able to give some really good background information on the Young Writers Program and different stats on NaNo, which was really great.
Lee came with a couple of her peers within her colleagues within NaNo, and they gave great information. So we're pretty proud of this panel.
Have to apologize a little for some of the audio when the audience is going to talk. We do get a lot of hiss and background noise because it's a fairly noisy room. You've got, you know, a big area, a lot of people, a lot of microphones. So
air conditioning.
To be able to hear the audience, it gets a little noisy. But other than that, hopefully it sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So whether you're listening for the End of the Blender feed or the Balticon podcast feed. We hope you enjoy the episode. Oh, hey, Chooch, are you doing NaNoWriMo this year?
I am not.
You are decidedly not.
I have decided I will not.
I have decided I will not, but I'm wavering.
Mm.
As soon as I decided and announced that I'm not going to have time to do it,
mm-hmm.
I had an idea that's just burrowing through my brain. So I am not doing it, most likely. I certainly don't have the time to do it successfully. I don't have the time that I invested last year, but that doesn't mean I won't start it and get some words down anyways. Even if I don't finish, if I get the idea fleshed out a little bit more, that's okay too.
Hmm. I still have to finish the novel I started last year.
I know. I'm patiently, I'm naggingly waiting for you to finish that. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody. And hopefully you enjoy the panel and we'll talk to you later.
Everyone dreams. But what would you do if you suddenly found out that you were one of the few who creates dreams for the whole world? Would you use your power to harness the light and to weave it into beautiful tapestries of magic and wonder? Or would you fall prey to the seductive siren song of darkness and nightmares? For tattoo artist Aura Mayville, this becomes a reality as she is ripped from her life of art and music and thrust into a realm where good and evil struggle for control over the minds and hearts of men. With a sarcastic sorcerer, a mercenary, and her spirit guide as her only companions, Aura must journey through the dream realm to discover both her power and where her heart truly lies. In a place where anything is possible, can she find the strength to hold on to herself, or will she be lost to the shadows forever? Join Aura on her quest in The Dreamer's Thread, a free podcast audiobook written and read by Starla Hutchton, available beginning July 2009. For more information, go to www.thedreamersthreadnovel.com.
Welcome, everybody. This is the NaNoWriMo panel. I'd like to start off introducing the panel.
Hi there.
Say anything about him?
I should have defined, yes, actually. Have the panel introduce themselves, including their history as a writer, and how many nanos they've participated in.
Oh. Nathan Lowell, I've written in the last 3 years 7 novels, 2 of which were NaNoWriMo winners. I've participated 3 times in NaNoWriMo's in the last 3 years. I missed one. I tried. I got about 1,600 words in, and then day job interfered, and life fell apart. But I did get 2 out of 3. And the last one was
pretty
good.
That's
not bad. Yeah, the last one was pretty epic, yes.
My name's Chooch Schubert. I'm an unpublished aspiring writer. I've attempted NaNo twice the last 2 years, and I have failed both years.
I'm Vivid Muse, and I also attempted the last 2 years and did not win the first year, but I won last year, and it was the first thing I've ever written. That was one of my checklist goals, is goal, write a novel. Well, you the support system, so I actually did it for NaNo.
My name is PG Holyfield. I have participated in NaNoWriMo 3 times. I have never won or completed 50,000 words, but 30,000 words of my first NaNoWriMo was Murder at Avedon Hill, which was just published this month.
My name is Mer Lafferty. I have the podcast I Should Be Writing, where I support writers much the same way NaNoWriMo does, but unfortunately I am also a loser at NaNoWriMo. I've attempted twice, and the most fun story I have about NaNoWriMo is the fact that last year I challenged Nate to do, he writes like a madman. And so I challenged him to write, to double NaNoWriMo. Everyone else did 50,000 words in a month. I challenged Nate to do 100. And he took the challenge.
Yes.
And he did it. You did it with days left, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was 100. When all is said and done, it was 114,000 words, and that doesn't count the 16,000 that I had to throw out because I fell into a plot hole halfway through the month.
So he rewrote. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to rewrite. So this, in total, it was 100 and round numbers, call it 130,000 words in 30 days.
Right. I did have, in my defense, I did have one. I had one assignment from an editor who asked me to write a 20,000-word novel in a week, and I did that. So I feel like if somebody was pushing me to do NaNoWriMo, I probably could. But, yeah, I'm not good at pushing myself.
Is there anybody who doesn't know what NaNoWriMo is? One, got a few. Okay. So NaNoWriMo stands for National Novel Writing Month. It takes place every November. There's a website, NaNoWriMo.org. Where you can do it's all free registration. There's a great community there of forums and encouragement. There are groups all over the world where writers get together and will come together in libraries and cafes and write and encourage each other.
Do we want to introduce our local ML?
Oh, hi. I'm Lee, or Punahou Girl 84, and I'm municipal liaison for Maryland. Also have another one, Vicky DeSanto. She does the 270-quarter. I do 270. We do have lots of people who host write-ins, which are really write-outs, where people get together and get incredibly motivated by the sounds of lots of other people typing, writing, thumb. And it's amazing. I started in 2004. I've done it 6 times. I've won 6 times. Although
Woo!
Most I've ever done 74,000, so I bow to the 114,000. But if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer for Maryland local, but then we can listen to you all talk about how to finish. And it can be done.
And that is the goal, right? The 50,000 words within the month. There's some ground rules. You can't come with anything you've previously written. And if you've already started a novel, you can't take that in. You can have character studies and outlines and that kind of background info that you can bring into it with you. And there, it's all the honor system. You check into the site. You can do your daily count. It gives you nice charts and graphs and shows your regions and how everybody's doing together. And there's actually some real benefits at the end. This year they had partnered with a company, with CreateSpace, who would do a free printing and binding of your finished manuscript, which was great. And then if you liked it, you could order copies, more copies.
And they gave you a good period of time. You would finish November 30th, but you had until June 30th is when it actually runs out to use that certificate. So I still haven't finished editing mine. So after this, I'm going to be able to start editing it to actually get a paper copy of it, which is fantastic.
And I should say another rule is it must be sole authorship. So it has to just be you writing, can't be a partner. But there are different affiliated programs along with NaNoWriMo. There's Script Frenzy. Which is doing screenplays, right?
Yeah.
Scripts. I haven't done it, didn't look too much into it. And NaNoEdmo, which is National Novel Editing Month. So after you finish it, here's your chance to edit it, which I believe is in December, if I remember right.
No, I think it's March.
March.
Did they move in?
March.
Good.
Well, they give you a chance to either finish your novel or let it sit and, you know.
And then edit in March.
Yeah.
Great. And the Young Writers Program, which unfortunately I didn't have time to really research to get details.
I'll give you lots of details.
Please.
My son has done the Young Writers Program 2 years in a row. He is 11, so he did it once when he was 10, and he did not finish. He did it once when he was 11, and he did finish. But the Young Writers Program, you can set your own word count. You don't have to do the 50,000. They have guidelines for what is achievable by certain age groups, and you can go by that. The good thing that we did was we combined it with the school. His teacher was very interested, so she got kids from the school who were interested. We had write-ins at my house. There were 5 kids. They all finished. And
great.
Their word counts. And now Ryan will send them. They have a chart they can put up in the classroom. They have pens. They have stickers. They have pens. And they do a lot of support. Yes. And it was very cool, like, to have them say, you know, I'm a novelist. So, and they also, when they finish, they get the certificate. They can get their printed by CreateSpace, which was a great, great thing to move them on toward keeping writing.
Wonderful.
And the donations to NaNoWriMo, while it's free, we do ask for donations to help support it. Helps to support the Young Writers Program along with a lot of other programs.
And it is a wonderful program for... my best friend's two daughters, they're just now turning 15 and 17. They've done Nano 2 years in a row. They've won both years, and they are already planning. They're editing, but they're also planning their next one. They're just really into it. Their circle of friends has expanded into doing it, and it's just fantastic.
It's a program. The Maya, as part of the Maya program goes to, if you have a classroom, they will send you up to 30 word processors for your classroom to use for the month of November free of charge.
We have a couple questions we will pose to the panel. Start with Mer. Yes. Did you utilize any of the forums or community support when you were doing Nano?
I did not. I have a history of moderating forums as my job, and it made me hate forums. And so even if the forums are full of wonderful, kind, beautiful people, I hate them. And so I don't really do much of the community support. We did have some support of the people who were I Should Be Writing participants. And but I did not use the community, no. I think it's fantastic, and I really like how they break it down to, you know, you have your area, and you can also have your genre, so you can really specify who you want to talk to, whether it's by region or people who are writing the same stuff as you. So I think it's a fantastic thing. I got a thing against forums. So it's me. It's really me.
PG?
I did the first year I did participate in the forums, and it's not, this isn't everybody. I found I was spending too much time on the forums instead of actually writing. I was also not the first year, but the second year. And then we had an ongoing writing group that came out of NaNoWriMo write-ins, and then we just kept going. So I was part of that for a couple of years.
And 1 year, didn't you participate in the Nano Monkeys?
Yeah, Murr and I and Chris Miller and KJ Johnson, two other podcasters from the Midwest, we started a podcast called the Nano Monkeys, and it was
2006.
It was 2007, 2008.
Okay. Okay. It was a daily podcast.
It was a daily podcast through in November, so that's another reason that I did not finish those years. But it was a support podcast. So I mean, 5-minute podcast every day just to talk about either aspects of writing or motivational things, just to get people again in their chairs to type, because that's what NaNoWriMo is all about.
And we got kind of silly. I remember the
his, hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. No, we had, I remember the podcast to encourage you to, if you get stuck, just throw some sex in. So that was, you know, if you not hitting your daily word, I'm pretty sure you could come up with enough, you know, 1,666 words of a love scene. So just throw it in there.
We had
no matter where it goes, just put it in.
We had the why routines are great.
Yeah, so why and routines you, are great, and then why
and
routines
then
are
you
bad.
Did why routines are bad, and so we hit everybody on that one.
Yeah,
so it was fun.
When I started both years, I actually went and looked around in the forums to see what was there, and then immediately said, I'm going to hit a wall. Let me have this in my back pocket, which I also did with Zach Rick's podcast. He put in his Geek Survival Guide. Zach is in the back of the room. He started doing a NaNoWriMo quick tips. It was like 10 or 15 minutes. And at the same time, I said, again, I'm going to hit a wall. I'm putting that in my back pocket so I can plug it in and get inspiration, and somehow made it through without it. But I've listened to it, and it's really awesome.
It was an awesome podcast.
Yes. And
it was insanity at work, is what it was.
Which is what the month was for us anyways.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I got my first negative criticism on Geek Survival Guide because of that podcast. Mm-hmm. So it really made me think that I'd arrived. And like a lot of things, like NaNoWriMo, as you're writing your book, kind of evolves as you go. The same thing happened there. It was really interesting how that kind of just played out across the 30 days.
The one thing that I did rely on heavily, and it was some of the folks here and in the room, was our Twitter. Several of us are friended with each other in Twitter. Nathan, and I can't remember, did you do Nano this year?
No.
And I saw that you had started it, and it was just this wonderful community thing where I didn't go to the forums because I had the Twitter daily with other people doing it, and we would motivate, okay, I'm going to write now, you know, going to go dark for 30 minutes, and you'd be like, Yeah, I could be writing right now also. So it was a good reminder all the time that I'm just sitting here watching TV. Why? I should be writing. Yeah. So that was really the community that I relied on more and never made it back to the forums. But again, the two girls, my friends, daughters, they relied very heavily in the forums. They were going in there. They were commenting. They were asking questions. They were giving advice to other young writers because they did the full Nano. They didn't do the Young Writers Program. They were 13 and 15 the first year. I mean, that was why, that was one of the reasons why I finished last year. I was like, I can't have, I was there when they were born. I changed those diapers. Oh no, 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 no. So yeah, I talked him into doing it. And then, yeah, circumstances let me finish, but then work ramped up for him. But yeah, it was, the forums for them were very heavy. They did a lot of usage there. So they're fantastic. If you hit any kind of a wall, there's so much support out there in the forums and podcasts and various locations mm-hmm. that if you have the time and you don't get hit with something else, then you really can do it.
Yeah, I used, in my neighborhood, we've got literally a municipal group, so that there's a group of people within my city. It's an amazing, I live in a small town. I never would have expected that there were 55 people in my town who were doing NaNoWriMo. And we did a word war. A word war is when your town gangs up on another town and you shoot for who can have the most winners in a month. And it's by percentage basis, so you don't get penalized because you've got 12 people participating and they've got 47. It's a percentage basis idea where, you know, what percent of your group can finish versus what percent of our group can finish. So we've got a long-standing word war with Fort Collins, which is down the street. And I think we won this year. We didn't win last year. We didn't win the year before or the year before that. The year before that. I think this actually was the first year in 20 that we've won. But the forums, they do a lot of coordination of the write-ins. There's a lot of notice for, you know, we're going to get together at Margie's Java Joint on Sunday at 3 o'clock. You know, bring your word processor, bring your pencil, bring your notebook, bring your ideas. Let's get together and write. The one thing that I don't do is I don't participate in write-ins. I figure by the time I drive to where it is, get set up, and set down to write, I've blown 2,000 words.
Yeah.
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 It could take 20 minutes.
Oh, and can I just, what was the writing, the term of measurement, a Lowell?
A Lowell, yeah.
Yes.
10,000 words a day.
Yeah. That's a Lowell. Yeah.
So of course, you know, we usually measure in like half Lowell or
quarter Lowell. Lowell. Yeah. Negative.
Negatively, yeah. I threw away a couple paragraphs over yesterday.
I think you covered it a little bit, PG. What were your stumbling blocks for completing Nano?
I'm horrible at time management, but I mean, the NaNoWriMo has helped me with that. Even though I'm not the best with time management, it did improve a lot. And one of the things probably helped me most would be around the speed rounds, where you would take, say, okay, in 30 minutes, I'm going to just write as many words as I can.
Word sprints,
of course, you do that all the time, but you know, just getting yourself and varying how you're writing. Just try to get the words on the page is always has helped me. But yeah, time management has always been my big stumbling block with Nana.
Time management is also a problem for me. There's also, I'm a freelance writer, and so I have paying work that has to come first. And so if I have a column due that's 1,500 words and I work really hard on this column, and then I think, oh, well, now I have to write 1,600 words on something else, it makes me want to cry. And then there's also the fact that it's always November, and if I have something in progress, I don't want to stop it just to do NaNoWriMo, and it's little things like that. But the couple of times I did get into it and did get into the groove, I really liked it. And, I'm probably going to try again just for the heck of it. I know several pro authors who do it just to, like, a like a marathon runner running a 5K just to see how it goes. And, you know, if they can do it, then I can, you know, manage a couple of columns and still do it. I have hope.
Not being a writer, my biggest stumbling block was, you know, the author is up here. Okay, when you read their work, if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. But you'll have these moments where you go, that is so cool. So I would focus on, okay, I need a really cool thing. And I would sit and I would think and I would feel overwhelmed and just be like, well, okay, I'll think about it later and then I'll write. That was my biggest stumbling block, is what am I going to write that's going to be good, getting it on the page and making it be something that I don't hate and tear out later. That was my biggest. It delayed me. I was behind for the first couple of weeks, and then something else motivated me to get in, which we'll go into that later. But that was it. It was that I, you know, give yourself permission. What is it you're allowed
to suck.
You're allowed to suck. I'm sorry.
But as you're required to suck.
Now it's required to suck. And I wasn't willing to suck yet. You know, I hadn't reached that level where I was willing to suck. So that was my biggest problem.
Day job was. It's always day job. If I can get clear of my paid requirements, and I usually have a lot of flexibility in how I spend my time, but the November before last, I ran into a buzzsaw about the third day into November. I was out of state at a conference, so I lost all of my momentum. I had 2 days of writing, and then I had to go away for 3 days, 4 days, and I could not write while I was there because it was such a labor-intensive effort while I was at the convention. And then I came back, and I had several very important projects that were related to my day job, and day job just got in the way of what I wanted to do. That's not exactly true. I really wanted to do my day job, but... I had to choose, what am I going to do? And NaNoWriMo fell off the truck that year. Mm-hmm. But out of three, I've won twice. Mm-hmm. Both novels have been turned into podcasts. Both novels have been fairly well accepted. I'm pretty pleased with the way that they're going. So I can't complain too much.
The last time you doubled the word count, which covers the first one.
Well, the first one was 100,000 words too.
Well,
so
then you're still
three,
ahead.
Between the three, I've done 200,000 words.
You can coast next year's too.
I'll coast next year. Okay.
For me, it was day job and commute. I basically have to commute an hour and a half, or well, 2 hours more or less each way to work and back, and then work a full day, and I kept losing my check for willpower every morning to get up early and do the writing before I was too tired when I got home. What was the biggest help for your progress and in winning the years that you won?
Her. The last year, hands down, unquestioningly, undoubtedly, whatever the hell.
He's a writer.
Yeah.
See, he has words.
I do have words. It's just not necessarily the right word. That's what editing's for. You do that in January. Or December. MERS challenge last year really was a spur. And this is one of the fun things about Nano, is that you have these challenges, you have these things that go on that are not just me saying I'm going to write a novel. You have other people saying, yes, you're going to write a novel. It's like going on a diet. If you don't tell anybody you're on a diet, you don't lose weight.
Yeah, it's the accountability.
It's the accountability. Mm-hmm. But Murr challenging me to do 50,000 in 15 days.
That's right. I didn't challenge you to double it. You did that.
Yeah, I did
just challenged you to do Nano in 15 days.
And see, for me, a novel is 100,000 words. So for me to win Nano on my own terms, I have to do 100,000 words. So the 50 was like, well, yeah, okay, I'll take that challenge. And I'll see you 50. I'll raise your 50.
So be careful when you play poker with Nathan.
Yeah. And then I had certain people who are in this room. I'm not naming any names. I'm looking at you, though, and you, who challenged me to go out of genre. So in November, I had to write 100,000 words for NaNoWriMo in a genre that was not my own. And then
a female protagonist.
Then I had a female protagonist. Yes. I've been bugged by my first readers for 3 novels now to write a female protagonist. And I wasn't willing to give that a go yet. So when I figured I got all of this stuff riding on a challenge, what's one more?
Pile it on.
So 114,000 words later, Ravenwood took flight.
Wow. And you've already podcasted.
Yeah, that was podcasted in January.
Yes, that's already been out. Yeah.
30 days later. Yeah, well, that's not
none
the
of
record.
Us grumbled either.
Yeah. The record was South Coast. I finished South Coast the first year. That was 2007. That was the 4th novel for that year. And it was 105,000 words.
Because Nate is too nice to hate. That's really what it is. He's too nice and he's too good of a writer. You just can't hate him. You want to, but you can't.
I finished it at the end of the month.
I edited it.
PG,
I had a podcast before Christmas.
Yeah.
So by January, December 23rd, the podcast was finished. It was a Christmas present to the fans who had been so supportive over the course of the year. So that was an 800,000 word year, 200,000 word year. That was a big year. I haven't done that since.
Your biggest help?
Again, partners. Twitter. Specifically, a friend, Cindy, in Twitter. Trillian started, as I said, I got stuck. I was stumbling, and I couldn't figure out what I was going to write next. And she started doing these word sprints. I'm going to write for 30 minutes, and then I've got to go pick up my daughter, whatever. So who's with me? I was like, well, I can write for 30 minutes, and I would sit there and I would pound out. I don't remember the word counts, but within like 2 or 3 days of these word sprints with her, which she would start them or I would start them, and you did one.
Yeah, I did a few.
And all of a sudden I was caught up, and I was like, this is how I write. I need to have that 30 minutes. That's it. Get in there, write it, and then mull about what you want to happen next before you sit down again. And that is literally what saved me. That and the Go Eagle Go and that real, I mean, it sounds silly for somebody to just say, you know, I'm going to sit down and write. And then people go, yeah, you can do it. Okay. I'm easy. It works for me. It was fantastically supportive. And also the Nano site, every time you log in, it tells you, this is how many words you should have written. This is how many you have. And seeing that disparity, how far behind you are, is really overwhelming. But when you start catching up and you pass it,
that's cool.
You don't want to lose that lead. So you keep writing at least what you need. And I actually finished 3 days early. I hit the 50,000. And kind of like you said, your goal is to write the novel. I said, okay, I hit 50,000, or it was 2 days before. And I said, okay, I finished it. It didn't feel finished because I hadn't finished the story arc. So I then sat down and finished it and plugged it in. Because what you do is you take your text and you copy and paste it in, and it validates your words and it updates your page. And that's where you get all the graphs and wonderful things. So I actually had the 50,000, went back, finished it, plugged that in, and ended up with like 54,000 words because I wanted to really feel like I had written a complete novel that month. And it's just the community. I really lucked into a really fantastic and inspirational community. So,
what's that? It sounded like you had something to add.
I did, and I can't remember what it was. Sprints. Oh, I know what it was. We did those word sprints.
Right. And they didn't work.
How many people beat Lowell? Most of them.
Yeah, I was shocked I beat you.
Yeah,
those.
Most of them. Because I get teased a lot for how fast that I write. I really don't write that fast. What I do is write a lot, and I, you know, on a good day, I'll put in 15, 16 hours writing, not sitting around, but writing 15, 16 hours. You know, when you're writing 15 hours a day, you only need to write 1,000 words an hour, and you got a lot of words at the end of the day.
Yeah. That chart for, go ahead.
Well, if you spend 15, 16 hours a day writing, when do you think? When do you think about the plot, or do you already have the outlines?
I don't think.
Nathan is an enigma. Yeah. He's.
I don't
freak
think. I don't plot.
Nature.
I don't plan. I sit. I know who's on my stage. I know what's happening on my stage. I know who they are and what they're doing there. And I don't write what they are doing now. I write what happens next. And then I just write what happens next. And then I just write what happens next. And then I just write what happens next. If I stop to think about what's going on now, the story stops.
Yeah.
I just type what's happening next. I, I literally do not think. I just record what happens next.
Mine was similar where
he is plugged into the matrix is what it is.
I had like 8 things that I wanted, and beyond that I really didn't think, which is why I got hung up, and the word sprint would start and I would just start typing. There wasn't any rhyme or reason, or I need this person to be here by the end of this. I started out trying to break it up. Okay, each of the chapters will be, this will happen in each chapter. And then I just threw that out the window completely and just wrote because I was focusing on the structure too much.
And the other thing NaNoWriMo does, at least for me, is that I was a habitual editor as I was writing. I would write a chapter.
Listen to my podcast?
Back pocket.
This was my episode for Nano Monkey, so I get to say that. So I would sit there and write a chapter, go back and edit it, write another chapter, go back to the first chapter, edit that, second, you know. And NaNoWriMo just gets you to keep going and just, you know, whether it's the word sprints or, you know, whatever.
Don't just look back.
Well, I was just going to say, that's great advice. You write what's next, you write what's next. My question is, do you write with an ultimate goal in mind so that you know when the story's done?
Actually, no. I've been surprised in all 6 of the 7 books, I have been surprised when I've written the last line and realize nothing happens next. Because I thought something was going to happen, and I write the last line, and it's like,
done.
I'm done. Now I have to edit. So no, I do not have an ultimate goal. I have some high level themes. I have some ideas that have to happen. The share books all have the same conceit. You have to get a promotion, so you have to go to the next share that matches the title. Ravenwood was a little bit of a challenge because I didn't have some sort of centralized idea that needed to happen. I had some high level sorts of theme stuff that I needed to write, but I have no idea. When I sit down to write, I have no idea where that book is going. And 6 times out of 7, I have been surprised when I actually wrote the last line. Always thinking, well, I've got another 10,000 words. I can wrap this up. Guess again, chump. You know, you're done.
One of the things that we recommend, because you're not allowed to write a single word of prose until you cross midnight from Halloween to November 1st,
right,
is to plan ahead. Take October. What are you going to write? Who's going to be in it? How's it going to end? Some people fly by the seat of their pants and they finish. A lot of people don't. So we often say, do some planning. Go ahead, map out your world. Think up your languages. Do it, and you don't have to just do it in October. You can do it whenever. And we'll often have little pre-meetings where people can do this together if they want. Although lots of people don't want to go anywhere, don't want to do the forums. And I recommend that. Don't get caught up in the forums because that's your writing time alone.
Right.
Unless you need to ask something about FTL or whatever. Mm-hmm. But planning ahead really helps knowing where you're going. And everybody has ways of doing it. And the municipal liaisons offer help. There's also the book by the founder, Chris Beatty, No Plot, No Problem, which happens to be 50,000 words, approximately, and not a novel, so it wouldn't count, and they give all kinds of ideas and hints, but there's also free stuff online. So,
Writers tend to fall into one of 2 categories, and that's the outliners, planners, and discovery writers, so people who just do fly by the seat of their pants. And the key is to just try it each way and see which one works for you, or a blend, you know, might work for you. Merv, what was biggest help for you for your progress?
Well, as I said, I'm a NaNoWriMo failure. So, besides, you know, what was said, you know, when I was doing okay, you know, like Viv said, Twitter was helpful, and then the challenge I had with Nate, you know, for like the first 2 days was helpful in driving me, and then like I slowed down, and he just kept chugging, just full steam ahead. It just that was a little
demotivating.
He's just frightening. You really. It's like, you just, Nate, you just frighten me. We tease you because, you know, literally, you tell your kids, oh, they tease you because they're jealous of you. Yes, we tease him because we're jealous of him. But as a whole, one thing that's really been inspirational to me lately, and that's shame. I'm serious. If anybody knows the author Jay Lake, he is he's a steampunk fantasy author. He has cancer. He is going through a serious round of chemotherapy right now. Jay writes every day. You get home after a day of work and you think, I don't feel like writing. Jay gets up at 4 to do his writing. He may have chemo brain. He may be not, you know, he may be sick. But he has cancer. He's doing chemo. He's still writing. And that just makes me think, here I am with my able body and my hours of time I'm going to spend watching Leverage, and I suck. So actually, you know, I shouldn't say shame. I should say inspiration, because if, you know, if he can go through all of that crap and still write, then what hell excuse do I have, really?
Well, the writing is probably very cathartic for him. For myself, my novel was a complete personal thing. It was cathartic. It was working through something that had happened. It will never be released anywhere. It will never be podcast. I haven't even let my husband read it yet, because I haven't edited yet. It was just my personal thing. And so if you're thinking, I may not write something that's good enough to publish or have published or podcast, it's still, if depending on what kind of journey you decide for, it can be wonderfully enriching and healing in a lot of ways. So just because you don't have something that you think will, you know, set the world on fire, just getting into that process and trying it will probably make you want to write something else that may do that. So I just think everybody should try it at least once. I'm a big sucker for it now. Mm-hmm. So
one thing that Jay talks about, the reason why he can do all of this, is because cancer has taken so much from him, and he's at his core, he's a writer, and he will not let cancer take that. And so that's the thing driving him. And I think one thing, and Viv, I need to give you a hug and tell you, you said these are all writers. Oh, you're a writer. You finished NaNoWriMo. You wrote a book. You are a writer. And you got, yeah.
If Merce says it, it's true. I've learned this.
Seriously.
Thank you.
It's, you know, it's, you don't think, I'm going to try NaNoWriMo. You think, no, I'm a writer. I'm going to write a novel. And, you know, just remind yourself that. And of course, writers write. So if you're not writing, maybe you should be writing, because, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. It's
catchy.
It's catchy. It's a good sentence. It fits into conversation. So it's a, you just got to think of yourself as a writer. And that's step one, you know, and then do that thing that you just said you are, that people do. That sentence, I'm better when I write, really, not when I speak.
Well, you teared me up, so Aww. You're doing good.
Do you follow your own advice and just write, or do you find yourself, catch yourself editing?
I don't edit. No. When I recently finished my novella, Matt Wallace is like, okay, where is it? I'm like, dude, you don't want to read this. Dude, it's like, you know, I would change. I'm bad about thinking like 10,000 words in, oh, this character should have a sister. And character's an only child, so I have to go, I'm not going to go back and edit and put the sister in. I'm just going to put, remember to put sister in, and I write it in all caps, and I put it right there in the middle of my paragraph, and I keep going as if the sister had been there the whole time. So I will not go back and edit, because I know that'll just get me stuck. And so my story goes, it goes like, it's a little blue, and then say, no, here I'm changing to green, and then it's green for a little while, and then no, I'm changing to red. And so until I go back and edit, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. So no.
You said you learned the lesson?
Yes. I just sit down and go. And yeah, I try not to even think about what I've written and just go back when I'm done.
I did not go back and edit. I knew not to. I'd read everything that said don't edit, but I couldn't help myself. Okay, where was I? Let me just read whatever. No, this is bad. Let me step away. The last two paragraphs I reread and started writing. And I do want to say that I have the two cities aren't named yet. One is named, you know, X city. The other's named Y city. So when I decide what I want those names to be, I can just do a search and replace. And Zach, it was something that I'd seen elsewhere. And I know I keep going to Zach. The trick. What's the letter combination?
TK.
TK. And if you'd explain.
Well, TK rarely appear together in a word in the English language. So if you're writing in English and you want to be able to find something to write a note to yourself, you put the letters TK and then the note to yourself. And I mean, as an example, in my first NaNoWriMo novel, I killed a character off, made him a part of a murder plot, and then I realized I've got the wrong character in this spot. It needs to be this other person over here because I need that guy alive still. And so I wrote a note to myself, TK, he didn't do it, this guy did it, and I continued writing from that point.
Mm-hmm. And you so, just need to go back when you were editing to do that search.
So when you do a search for TK, all the notes that you wrote to yourself come up, and you can really quickly spot check, and you've got almost an outline of the changes that you've recorded in the text as you go of what you need to go back and fix to make it all fit in the end.
Mm-hmm. Zach, are you doing another podcast this year? Have you decided?
I haven't decided yet. It depends on how good the medication is.
I only edit if I, well, this nano, I got gored by a rhytoplotamus. It was pretty dreadful. I found myself falling off a cliff in terms of plot, and I realized on day 12 that I had gone down a wrong path, and I couldn't work my way out of it. And what I had to do was backtrack to find where I should have taken the left at Albuquerque and bite the bullet and chop out 16,000 words out of the first 50 and then try to make it up by the end of the week. And luckily I did. Yeah. I hit 15 by 14 days.
You see, yeah. I just
don't delete. No.
Well, and that's what I told him. I said, and he's like, "No, I have to cut this." And I'm like, "All right."
I could have left it, but then I would have been overinflating the numbers on the story, because what's important to me is that I get the correct story in. And it's sort of felt like cheating. It's like, but this isn't a story. This is a wrong turn. And so I went ahead, bit the bullet, chopped it out. I did recover some of it. I was able to repurpose some of it later on. So it wasn't totally lost. You never totally lose words.
There are some people on Nano who will just start writing. And the tower was really, really,
really, really, really, really, really, yeah, I know. Really tall.
Well, but I think that, you know, those folks kind of cheat themselves. You know, if that would diminish it for me.
If you need a certificate that bad, we can't help you.
Yeah. there's no help.
Other problems, yeah. So I don't edit. I don't go back and reread. But I've, on a couple of occasions, found myself falling off a cliff on a plot. And I will go back and find where I should have made the left at Albuquerque and go back and make the left and bite the bullet and lose the words. But other than that, I don't edit. I'm not paying that close attention. There may be a point. There's been a couple of times where I've left myself a note in the text to go back and look at something. But I don't. Edit.
With mine, one of the points that I wanted to have in there, I saw it was about three quarters of the way through the month, and I was seeing I was making it, and I couldn't figure out how to, you know, hit that realistically with my goal of actually finishing the complete story and still include this one plot thread. So I dropped it, and that drove me really crazy until I realized that there are a lot of books where someone will lead you down a path with something that you want to know more about. Aramis and Aaron's mother. And you don't get that resolution in that story. So I had to kind of just say, it happens in other places, let it go for now. And I can either build and expand it later and finish that plot line, or it can just be there. And you kind of wonder about it. So I kind of forgave myself that one thread.
I've been known to put a red herring or two in.
No.
Yeah, it's true.
Will you nano again?
Oh, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? Good answer.
You're going to write 50,000 words in that month anyway.
might as well get a certificate for it. I will. I will challenge you again this year and try to make it possible for you to have more time to do it. November was a hairy month for us for a lot of different reasons, and I had time made available for me, and he didn't. I felt really guilty that I challenged him, and then he had no time to do it.
That's all right. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
But yes, definitely, we'll do it again. Mm-hmm.
BG?
It's the plan. I'll just put it that way. I want to do it this year, so.
I think I'd like to. It depends on whether the schedule works out. You know, if I need to be editing a novel at that point, then probably not. But I will be supporting my listeners and hope to have. I had John Beatty on the podcast last year. That was fun. And Crispy? that guy, you know, that did the thing,
the guy
with the stuff.
With the book, the thing.
Yeah, the guy with the books is, yeah, Reginald something. Yeah, it really made a big impact on me to have him on my podcast, clearly. Yeah. Is it a good point in the con where I can blame sleep deprivation and alcohol?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I was doing that yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, it's after Thursday. I think you're game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I had that dude on my podcast. I had Nate on my podcast, and we never did a follow up. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was fun. The official sort of kickoff challenge.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. But
I had no idea.
I mean, I'd like to. It's a fun thing.
November's a tough month.
It is. Why is it November?
I lose like a week. I lose like a week for Thanksgiving.
Because, well, in America, you got Thanksgiving, you got travel.
But it's perfect because you let other people cook and you do your writing.
Not necessarily true.
Well, they talk about your moms hiding with their laptops in the bathrooms, or you know, everybody's sober, you know, asleep on the turkey, and then you're getting to write.
Yeah.
You know, the kids are home from holidays. We said, forget the homework, forget the exams. This is what matters. You get in your word count, 1,667 words a day, and you're done. And a lot of people are influenced by Thanksgiving to finish early.
And that I will say that for those of you that are the ones that are stuck cooking, you've got that extra incentive to be ahead of your projected word count where you should be. That's your motivation because it's a killer. Thanksgiving's rough. And you're also, if you're like me, you're also preparing for work. You know, we observe Christmas. So I'm shopping for Christmas presents and doing that planning. It's a tough month.
You have to get it done first. There are groups that do it in other months that have 31 days.
Yeah, that was my next thing. Why not November? Why not one with just one more date?
Read all about it in the book.
All right.
Ding.
Question?
Well, for all the people who have completed it or have children and all that, how would you encourage your kids to get into it? Because I have a six-year-old, and she's already waking up an hour and a half earlier than we do and writing the stories. Nice. So what would you do to get them?
The resources for the Young Writers Program.
Yeah.
There's a lot there that you can download. A manual that, I mean, literally has put it in a binder, and it's the coolest manual. It helps you characterize it. It says pretend you're your character on a radio interview, and you use your questions and they can write out answers, and all the stuff that they have you write out in just little pieces is characterization, it's plot, and by the end you're like, oh wow, I have a whole story. Mm-hmm. And it is cool to go through. It's like 50 pages. I printed it out and I copied it for all the kids in the class. It's a lot of fun. And if she's, you know, she's too young to actually do all that writing, you can pretend that you are the interviewer and then you can write down her answers for her.
One thing I have become warming to this idea in talking to an artist friend of mine is that, you know, when I think about the first things that I ever wrote, a lot of it was fanfic. I didn't know what fanfic was, but it was fanfic. And my artist friend, Ursula Vernon, is like, oh, yeah, I wrote fanfic. And then you talk about the artists who grow up drawing their favorite things before they ever start drawing their own thing. And so you might think, look at one of her favorite cartoons or one of her favorite stories and maybe have her tell a story. Like say, okay, what would you want SpongeBob to do it sort of lead it on. I mean, there's a lot of arguments about fanfic, but I think that starting with derivative works is creativity. It's how it starts. And then, you know, move on. But, you know, I'd say encourage her to talk about things that she already loves. Don't say, we must be original from day one. No, just write about something that's awesome.
Strikes her fancy.
As a musician, that's the first thing you do, is you learn Smoke on the Water. Stairway to Heaven.
I got it.
As a bass player.
Yeah. I am a bass player.
Sorry. You had a question, Scott?
Well, I guess not so much a question, it's just a couple of comments. Two things that helped me. I've participated four times in one, two of them, podcasts, the first one that I did. One tool in my chest was Write or Die.
Oh, yes. Ride or Die is an awesome tool.
Ride or Die in kamikaze mode is something I've never been brave enough to try.
But, yeah. Oh, God.
You want to elaborate on what it is?
Would you? Ride or Die is a fantastic program that I don't remember all the bells and whistles. Essentially, it just puts everything else in the background, and you write, and you tell it how mean you want it to be. And when you stop writing, it starts a little countdown, and then it will start making a noise. It'll start beeping, and then it will make a horrible, horrible noise. Your entire page will turn red. It will start screaming at you until you start again. And for me, it's like when I was using it, I was researching while I was writing. And so I'd be like, okay, now open up Firefox really fast, really fast, really fast. And, you know, even though that was irritating because I'm like, it's not my fault. I didn't stop writing, really.
I'm still writing.
It still made me go a lot faster. Kamikaze mode is the one where it deletes whole words if you stop. It just starts going back if you stop. So
it's just mean.
Yeah, I know.
Do not want.
Yeah, I know. I don't know anybody who would.
I know, kamikaze. I know, but still, it's just mean.
That the guy who wrote it goes by the moniker Dr. Wicket. I'm sorry.
It's fitting.
Well, I know from experience, Brandy actually used it in kamikaze mode, and it really helps with writer's block when she starts.
You just start throwing words in.
Wow. Was another piece?
The other thing I wanted to say, too, was don't give up. Because this last year, I was ahead of the game by the 15th or 16th of the month, then went away for Thanksgiving, and I was like, I've built up a buffer, I'll be all right. No. Last day of November, I woke up, and I was 10,000 words in the hole. So my wife said, you're going to do this. And I did.
Yay for the wife.
Yeah. Now, everybody here who's from Maryland has a huge advantage because we are a very wordy region. The first year they started counting how many words we were doing in the region, we won. We were number one in the entire world. Now, I attribute that to the fact that I actually wrote up directions on how to sign yourself up as part of the region, and I think Maryland people are just very smart, and I must have gotten a lot of people to sign up with this little email, because suddenly Chris Bailey, they're talking to me and saying, hey, what's in the water in Maryland? And I'm like, well, you know, there's lots of people who are recycling the water, like Nora Roberts and Tom Clancy, you know, lots and lots of words out there. We did, if you don't mind some numbers.
Sure.
For 2009, we had 1,426 writers active and homed, 15% donated money. I have to talk about that. We wrote 30,966,976 words, and then we had 350 winners, about 24.5%, which was more than the norm. We are really good at this. So just being here is going to give you a big karmic advantage to finish it.
There's a question.
There's a question?
Yeah. Does it have to be a novel? Could it be a series of short stories?
It's the honor system. It is the honor system. But it is novel.
Fiction.
A fictional, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there is nobody going, wait, that's four stories, not one. Yeah. But, you know.
If they're interconnected in some way, like Anna Caffrey's Surfership Book, you know, it was all the same person. It was just at different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the challenge isn't only, you know, the 50,000 words. It's also writing one long story. That's harder than writing. I mean, in my opinion, it's harder than writing a series of short stories. So that's part of the challenge, I think.
There is there's some people, some professional writers who feel nano is actually a bad thing. I don't think any of you, since you do it, but you have thoughts on
that it teaches bad habits.
Well, sure. It's. I mean, a lot of the criticism is it's valid. I mean, a lot of times it teaches people to write one time a year. And, you know, if you come up with an awesome novel idea in July and think, oh, I'll save this for NaNoWriMo, why? Really? Come on. I mean, yes, it's fun to do NaNoWriMo, but if you come up with a novel idea, write it. And some people think that people should not be encouraged. If you're going to be a writer, you're going to be a writer, and you don't need someone making this thing. A lot of agents don't like it because don't do this. A lot of agents don't like it because people write their novel and on December 1st, send it off to agents. Agents' slush piles grow really large with badly written. I mean, come on. It's 50,000 words is a very small novel, and I don't care how professional you are, it's going to be bad. It's going to need work if you wrote it in a month. It could be awesome when you're done editing it, but so a lot of people think that they can now send it off, and so slush piles get heavy, and I think somebody was worried about somebody preying on the new writers, but I can't remember why. But it wasn't Create Space or Lulu because, yeah. But I think maybe like fake agents would be encouraging you to get that published or something. But exactly,
help you
exactly. So that's those are a couple of the logical arguments to it. But I think that is all specific to every writer. You know, you're going to have writers who make bad decisions all the time of the year, so it doesn't have to be during NaNoWriMo.
Yeah, I make bad decisions every day.
In the last 2 hours? No, go ahead.
Have any additional thoughts for it?
I mean, I don't agree with that, you know, thought process. I mean, the core idea around it is to get your butt in the chair. You have thousands of people that have either never written anything, or they have just been putting off, or they, you know, have something that's in their mind for years and years. And so if they actually sit down and do it, then you've got that many potential great writers that are starting, you know, their journey. So, yeah.
For the record, I was just saying what the criticisms were. I don't really believe in them. I think it's a fantastic thing to get people moving and to let them. Once you're done, you think, wow, maybe I can do this. And that's an awesome thing to tell people. I think anybody who thinks that's a bad thing to tell people is just, you know, blackened in their heart.
So now we're actually out of time. I meant to have more QA time. But I want to thank the panel. I want to thank all of you for coming in and joining us.
And do NaNo. Do NaNo. If you have any interest, just do it.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to intotheblender@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 657-464-4820.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 license.
You're free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content, just not modify or make money from it.
Theme music is provided by Sharif, found on podsafeaudio.com.
For more information about the artist, head to sharifmusic.com.
That's SHARIF music.com.